Turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus. The book of Titus, again, just thankful for wonderful attendance in this evening service and our guests and our friends. And it's good to have Brother Zeke Busey back. He's been out all summer and just serving the Lord there with Windshape Camp. And God's done a great work in his heart. And it's just good to have you back, Brother Zeke. And other college kids and will be coming in as they've been working in camp. I believe Tony will be driving in, I think, today or tomorrow to start classes. And then others will be trickling in as well. We're thankful for their service to our Lord and giving of themselves in their summer to make an impact on young people. Brother Daniel Jemanski is on his way in as well. He has been at the Anchorage, and he should be arriving back in town sometime this evening. Not sure exactly what time, but we need to pray for them. And I hope you'll reach out to them as they've come and tell them you've been praying for them, encourage them, ask them how their summer's gone. And just I believe that would be a help. And I trust that you'll be able to connect with all those that have been out for the summer and help them in some way. Well, again, just rejoicing tonight. And we want to go to the book of Titus, where we have been studying on Sunday evenings this wonderful small book, but packed with wonderful doctrine and truth and exhortation that we get by way of Paul's letter to this young pastor, Titus. We discussed in chapter 1 the need for leaders in the church, godly leaders and their qualifications. We talked about the great need for confronting false teachers. And then our last message we preached out of chapter 2, verse 1, and talking about the importance of speaking out and speaking the things which become sound doctrine, which draw people to the gospel, that makes the gospel attractive in a way that we conduct ourselves. And he's going to talk about these things. We're going to get into the things mentioned in verse 1, and we're going to start those messages tonight. And so I'm just going to begin reading in verse 1, but we're only going to be in verse 2 this evening. So I'll begin reading there, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before you with total dependence. I can do nothing without you, Lord, and I pray you'd help me to speak only that which you would want to be spoken. And then, Lord, I do pray for the hearers and the listeners that you'd help their hearts to be tender. I pray they would be receptive to your word. And Holy Spirit, we are asking that your presence would be made known as we are here for a purpose of knowing Jesus better. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work now. Commit it all to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, here we, again, are going to have somewhat of a transition, as we mentioned, from chapter 1 to chapter 2. And he's going to go, as one has said, from addressing the leadership of the church, that he's actually going to be addressing the members of the church, the different groups of people that would be represented even tonight, the young men, the young ladies, the older men, the older ladies. Paul is going to exhort Titus on how to instruct them. And what should be expected as he is going to be pastoring these people and his responsibility there. So we see here, I want us to focus on just these words as we go through verse 2. The first one I want us to see, remember, he's going to be speaking these things in a way that honors God with sound truth, not his opinions. This is what God says. This is what God expects. And the first group that he's going to address is that of the aged men. Well, who are they? Well, the Greek word there is presbytes, which is simply, the definition of it is exactly how we would define aged men. The older men in the congregation. Now, I do believe that there is liberty there to that being referring to those that are also experienced. Doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be really old in age and up in age, but they can be of a maturity in such a way that they have much experience in living life and serving the Lord. But I do believe he is talking about the different people groups of the church, and here he's going to address the aged men first. This word that we're looking at, aged men, is also seen in Philemon verse 9. Philemon verse 9, I'll read it to you. It says, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul," get it, the next two words, "the aged." Paul was referring to his older age here in Philemon verse 9. We also see that in Luke chapter 1, verse 18. And there in the context of Zacharias. And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Well, that word there, old man, is the same Greek word that is used here in our text in verse 2. So we do know that age is definitely the context there, but I believe that it can also have experience applied to it. So he's referring to this group of men. I believe we have several of those in our congregation, and I'll say more about that here in just a moment. But I wanted you to understand the context of who he is speaking about. And he's going to basically tell them how these men should be conducting themselves in the local church as faithful members of their churches, of their respective congregations. They are to know how to conduct themselves. And so he's going to go and give a description. The first word we see here in our text is that they should be sober. That word sober is actually different from the word sober we see for the qualification, for the word used up there in your text of chapter 1, where Paul refers to it there, I believe. You might have to help me find it. Just go right up there, I believe, in verse number 6. See where you see, in self-willed, not soon angry. But a lover, okay, verse 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, and sober. It's not the same Greek word, though there are some similarities. It's not the same Greek word. This one carries the idea of abstaining totally from wine. Some have said it's just only moderately partaking. I take the position that he is exhorting them to stay away from it, to keep their minds clear, that they ought to be men respected, that they are not taken under the influence of any other. They are sober and respected as that. You know, I told, I'm not going to re-preach that message, that we did talk about alcohol. But I know that if I understand that a man and that I may know in life, I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but if I know that he drinks even moderately, I'm sorry, but there is going to be an inkling there in my mind always that when he is drinking, he's not going to be as clear-minded as he should be. And at any given time. And so, you know my position there. So, but I do believe that he is referring to this man, this qualification, or I should say characteristic of the older men of the church, is to be sober. But then look at this next word. He says that he should be grave. Now, we don't typically use that in today as much as they did then, but it carries the idea of someone who is honorable. Someone who is to be respected. It's a calling forth of respect through age, and I would also say experience. This is a person, an older man, who has gained the respect of the people in the church.
He lives an honorable life. And we have many of those in our church, don't we? I'm so thankful for that. And tonight we're going to try to put our focus on these group of men and to realize what God expects of them, but also what God expects of us and how they should be treated. They are to be honored. You know, the Lord puts a lot of emphasis on honoring the aged, those that have lived life, those that have experienced life, those that are filled with wisdom, as we know the proverb speaks of it. But you know, we are living in a day and age, I'm afraid and terrified, that more and more so I'm seeing the amount of older people being disrespected. And I believe the Lord would have me just talk a little bit about that tonight, because we need to understand that if God values a group of people in such a way that demands respect for them, then we ought to take note, that we ought to take attention and to give special emphasis, especially upon this area where we may be lacking. Now, I'm not saying we're lacking here. We could be. God speaks to you. We can always make that right by just simply turning back to Him. But you know, you even go through the Old Testament. And I know, we don't live under the Old Testament law anymore. I understand that. But there are still many things that God emphasized through the Old Testament that we don't have to keep to be saved. But there are certain things that had a practical aspect to it. Okay? But one of those we know without a shadow of a doubt, that's one of the most well-known commandments, is to honor thy father and thy mother. And that honoring that father is one that would fall into this category. You children, you need to understand that your fathers are to be sober, but they are grave. They are to be honored. They are honorable men that deserve our attention. Listen to what the Lord said in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." Boy, I'll tell you, that's pretty serious, wasn't it? That they were to be revered in such a way, now not in an excessive amount that would take away God's reverence to Almighty God. Of course not. That's not what the Lord's saying. But there should be a most definite honoring to those that are aged in our congregations and in our society, in our community. There should be a respect there. The hoary head, the gray head. Look around the congregation. Do you see anybody with gray hair? Don't look too hard now. They might get mad at me. Hey, that's pure wisdom. And those that you don't see any hair, if they had hair, it would be gray, okay? They're very wise. And they need to be honored. They need to be respected. Young people, please take heed to these exhortations. We have got to respect these aged men in our church. And we'll get to the ladies on our next message as well. And Paul will deal with that in verse 3. But we see in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." And the aged that I know in our church that are coming here faithfully, I know that they are in the way of righteousness. And they are to be honored. Yes, they ought to be. Listen, I like what John MacArthur said here concerning this dear group, this class of people, group of people, however you would like to consider them that Paul is referring to. Quote, "General regard for people in their senior years is of grave concern to God. Believe me, very concerned is God about it. How you treat your father is a matter for God to even discuss in the commandments, the Ten Commandments. In fact, the death penalty was required for disrespect, for hitting, striking your father or mother, or for cursing your father or mother, according to Exodus chapter 21, verses 15 and 17. Listen, how many of us would be dead right now? if that was still in the law. You see how serious it was that God taught His people, you honor those that are over you in age, those that have experience, father, mother, whatever it may be, the people in the church, you give credence unto them, you give honor unto them, and not to worship them as we worship God. Of course not. That's not the discussion. The discussion is a simple matter of respect. You know, Timothy even had to deal with it. Paul, if you'll go over there with me, you don't have to go far. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. You understand the context. Go over to 1 Timothy. Just flip back about two or three pages probably. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 1. Paul was encouraging Timothy here, the same people group, I believe. He says here in verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. What is the context here? The context is Paul telling Timothy, who may even be in his 40s by this time, to say, look, if you ever have to confront one of the elders in the church, a spiritual leader, a spiritual example, someone that has a testimony in the church, because, and by the way, this is the context, even elders do sin. That's not the question here. We know that the age group, the older men are going to sin, the older women, that's going to happen. But how we approach them is very important to God. And he's saying here that when you rebuke an elder, Timothy, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren. This word rebuke carries the idea of a very strong way of confronting someone, almost violently, maybe with words, but very abusive, very sharp and cutting, almost in a demeaning sense. Paul said, Timothy, that better not happen with you. You rebuke not those elders, but you come to him. Yes, you may have to confront him. Yes, you may have to talk to him about a sinful situation in his life. But Timothy, when you go to him, you go to him as your dad. You go with respect. You go with honor. Even if you have to confront, which is necessary. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said it. When you go to confront them, you entreat them as a father. Some people have abused that verse. Some people, some of the circles of Baptist churches, use that verse and they abuse it, saying, listen, I'm a pastor, I'm a leader in the church, I'm an older man, you can't rebuke me, you can't confront me about sin. I want to tell you, that is not the context of that verse. That's an abuse of that verse. I tell you right now, all the older men in this church, they stand to be rebuked in the sense of in being entreated as a father, and but not sharply in this context where it would be abusive and disrespectful. As your pastor, I do stand in the place to be confronted about my sin. If there's sin in my life that needs to be confronted, I don't care who you are as a pastor, you always stand to be confronted about sin. No one is above that. But what the point is that we entreat with respect. You young men, it would be good to take note that when we do have opportunity or the need to talk to an older man about a situation, it is so important to understand that we must entreat him as a father. And then, of course, while we're there in that verse, he goes on to say, and the younger men as brethren. It looks like Paul gives him a little bit more liberty to be more sharp with maybe some of his own age, some of around his age group. He says, look, but you still treat them as a brother. You still show that brotherly love. Maybe you can come in sharper. Maybe you can come in that direction. But I want to tell you something. You approach them as a brother. Men, the younger men as brethren. But my point in saying that is there is a definite understanding in Scripture that the aged men, the elders, are to be respected even when they have to be confronted. I'm going to continue that quote here.
Those who are older are to be treated with kindness and love and honor and respect. So when you confront an older man because of his sin, you do it graciously. You come alongside and appeal to him with the respect that you would give a father. You know, that is so important, is it not? I want to share some things here. These are my opinions. Maybe it's because of the culture we live in. Maybe it's because of the way I brought up. You'll forgive me if I offend anyone. But I believe some practical ways that we can show respect to the aged men of our church and young people, I hope you will take note on this, and to the aged women, make application too for you, the way you ladies would treat the older women of our church with respect. Hey, when you talk to them and do talk to them, look them in the eye. Shake their hands. Ask them how they're doing. Be interested in them. Honor them. I'll tell you something that I tell you, my dad, I would not have a head today if I would have been sitting in a chair when an older person walked in the room and I remained in that seat. Young people, what does that show? It shows that if I'm sitting down in a room and an older person walks in, you know what? I just get up immediately and offer my seat. What does that show? It shows honor. We're losing that today. But God commands us to honor those in that age group. You know, I know some people in the North take issue with the way we sanctified folks in the South say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I understand that element. But I wish I could explain to my Northern friends. My wife's one of them, but she's not here tonight. She's my Northern best friend. She's my Northern wife, okay? But she's becoming more and more Southern, amen? Because she's learning how to cook grits. Hallelujah. But the reason we say yes, sir, and no, sir, and the reason I believe I was taught that is because that is a way to show honor. And if at least to show honor to an older, if an older person, because I have been corrected by those in the North, they kind of take offense to it. I get it. I understand. I want to respect that. But at least I can look them in the eye and complete every pronunciation of the word yes, not yeah. Yes, that will be good. Not yeah. But that, there's an amount of respect there. Older men that are coming into our church, young men, please listen to me here. Shake their hands. Give them a handshake. Look into their eye. Talk to them. Be friendly to them. Listen to their words if they're talking to you. And by the way, aged men in this group, I want to encourage you, do not fear talking to our young men. They need to hear from you. Do not bypass them. They want to hear from you. I know there's an intimidation there. I understand. There's that element. But God wants the aged men to show forth that testimony that we're going to see here in our church. And I hope you make the effort to reach out to them and to love them and to mentor them and to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. But I do hope that there will always be that element in our church of respecting this group of people that Paul is talking to Titus about. The aged men, be sober. They are to be grave. They are to be respected, honored. May God help us in that. And if I'm speaking to someone tonight and the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you about the disrespect you show towards the elders in your life and the elders in this church, I would encourage you to humble yourself and go to them and say, I am sorry. The Lord will honor you for that. He will bless you for that. And that elder in that process will be honored. We see here that he says that the aged man to be sober, to be grave, and look at the next word. It says that they are to be temperate. Now that word temperate there carries the idea of a sound mind. He's sane. He's got his senses. And the idea of also is the idea of curbing one's desires and impulses, self-controlled. temperate, able to control himself. And that was to be a qualification of these aged men. And Titus was to hold them accountable and encouraging in them in that area. And men, sometime, from what I understand, I have not got to some of the ages where I've heard some of these testimonies, but there is a tendency to sometimes an older age to loosen up on the discipline and the mind and the heart. Maybe to give up in some areas of self-control. You just let it go. And Paul says to Titus, don't you exhort those men, those aged men, to be temperate, to be controlled, those desires, those impulses that have been there since a young man that pop back up even as an older man. Hey, older men, control them. That Adamic nature has not left you. And I understand it wakes up with you every morning. But I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, as we see here, to be temperate. And then that next word, look with me, it says to be sound. To be sound. And that again carries the idea of we looked at that in verse 1, did we not? I'm not going to spend much time with that, but it's the same word, sound doctrine, and then here to be sound, the idea is to be in good health. Now, I'm sure Paul would always encourage the aged men to be in good health. I'm sure Titus would encourage the aged men to be in good health physically, but that's not the context here. The context is he's saying, they need to be in good health spiritually. But he breaks it up in three areas. He says they are to be in good health. Look at your Bible there. He said they are to be in good health and sound faith in three areas. In good health, they are to be in good health in faith, in charity, in patience. Now, one thing I noted here in the Greek text, the original manuscript of this passage that was translated into English, one of the things I notice is that before those three descriptions there, before faith and before charity and before patience, are actually the definite article, which simply carries a stronger idea here in the sense that it's not talking about just a faith. It's not just talking about a charity or a love. And it's not just talking about a patience. No, my friends, it's talking about the faith. That is the faith that we hold to and stand on strongly, this precious holy book. They ought to be in good health in the Word. The aged men of our church ought to be growing continuously and being seasoned in the Word. Being able to exhort the young men and be able to live examples unto them. I'm glad that our church is filled with those type of men. I'm so thankful. But we understand here that it's talking about good health in the faith. That simply means, again, your trust in the Word, your conviction, and your beliefs. How does a person remain sound in good health? Well, he has a steady diet of the pure Word of God. Sometimes, I believe older men have a tendency to veer away from good health, even sometimes because of eyesight. Maybe they're not able to see the Word of God as well and read as well as they could, and they fall away from being even exposed to the Word of God. Personally, feeding themselves from the Word of God or listening to the Word of God on a continuous basis. And sometimes they get soft or sometimes they get overly excessive in their beliefs and they become imbalanced. And when we know when one comes imbalanced, they become unhealthy. And Paul is telling Titus that let them be in good health in their faith. But then notice the second thing he told them to be in good health about. He said that they need to be in good health. They need to be sound in charity. Now again, the definite article is there, so it's just not saying in love. It's saying in the love. We know as love being the affection that of the highest Christian virtue by way of Paul. He says, by faith, love, and hope, but he said above all these is love, is charity. That is what we see here. This is the love of Christ.
This is the love of Christ that's shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I may just be speaking out of term here. I'm not sure. But from what I understand, at least in my grandfather, I'll speak to my grandfather because I don't want anybody getting the idea here. Sometimes in the older age, there is a tendency to become ornery, maybe. That would be the case for my granddad, and I love my granddad. He'll be 96 years old in November. And we laugh together, but he can be one of the most ornery guys I've ever met. I love him. But I want to say, men, aged men, the elders of this church, please remember that you need to be in sound charity. And sound in the love, the affection that's shown to your brothers and to the sisters of this church. It needs to be exhibited. And that goes for all of us. But even in the older age, the aged women that we'll be talking about here in a little bit is going to be given some of the same instruction. The tendency is sometimes is to get moody. And sometimes can be quite unkind. But my friends, the Bible says that even in the older age, with the pains and the aches and the things that do come naturally in that season of life, do not forget that you ought to have sound charity. The affection, the highest Christian virtue that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and that we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. But then look at the third thing that the aged men were to be sound in. They were to be sound in patience. Sound in patience. Now, what is that word patience? It's not a patience, it's the patience. I believe it is the simply trusting and waiting upon Lord God Almighty to work in this life. It's a steadfastness of not giving up. It's a call that God has put upon us, an endurance to go to the end. And I have heard, I don't know this for a fact, but I have heard from some of my brothers who are in the aged category, said there is a strong temptation to simply give up in the Christian battle. To give up in the Christian walk. To give up in making an influence upon their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. To give up on the young people in the church and to withdraw themselves and just to live out their last years of life being loners instead of people of God who exhibit the love of God and the steadfastness of God and the patience of God and the faith in God. Hey, I'm telling you, my dear friends in the age group, aged men of this church and my age sisters, we need you. And I honor you tonight. And we are looking to you and we honor you. We respect you and we're thankful for your godly influence and the prayers that you pour out upon us and the examples that you have given unto us. I thank you. And I trust that our church will continually show that respect. But my friends, do not give up. Remain steadfast. You remember that same word, this same word that we see here in this passage was used in Romans chapter 8, verse 25, where Paul said, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And Paul goes on to talk about how we do long. We do long with groanings for that day. But Paul says, do it with patience. Do it with endurance. I'm thankful for those in our church and who will continue as we all grow older, amen, that you will never give up. You will determine now that you will remain an influence for the glory of Almighty God to your family and to the people of this church. And I believe that's exactly what Paul was trying to instruct this young pastor to do, that these aged men would simply be anchors in the church. They would have great influence. They would be greatly needed. May we as God's people do the same. And you aged men, please take courage. Be reminded of God's instruction to you tonight. And may He be honored and glorified. Let's pray. Almighty God, I am grateful for the aged group in our church, the elders, the men who have been saved many years, the men who have lived their life for You, not perfectly, but they have persevered. I thank You for, Lord, how You're going to give instruction to each of the people groups of the church, the people, the age groups. And Lord, I'm asking tonight as we reflect upon the elders of our church, Lord Jesus, forgive me for times that I have not given proper respect to the elders of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, to the aged men who deserve to be honored. Would You grow me in that, Father? I pray for our young men, our teenagers, our college-aged men, our middle-aged men. I pray, Lord, that we would take this very seriously. I pray for our young ladies that they would have the same attitude towards the aged men and the aged women of our church. Thank You for what You're doing to help us in that, Lord. And then I do pray for my brothers tonight that You would help them to practice the characteristics that we have read about tonight. By the power of Your Spirit, Lord, if there are any that have just given up, they've loosened up, God, help them. Help them. Revive them. Strengthen them. I'm so thankful for them. And Lord God Almighty, we thank You for what You're going to do. We give You all the praise and all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.